Well, I'm excited to be here. It's an honor to stand before you and just minister the word of God. And if I told you that I look forward to this day, I'd be lying, because there's two things that I've never looked forward to. One of them is what I'm doing right now. The other one, believe it or not, is leading worship. I never look forward to those things. But how many know that God has other plans? And we might not always agree with God's plans, or might think we're going in another direction, but there's grace to do what He wants you to do. So this morning, I'm very honored, like I said, and my dad is here. He's 71 and young. He's traveled all the way from Mundola to come and support me. 9 years ago, I lost my mom. He lost his sweetheart. But he's been strong. I think one of the things that I've learned from my dad, that even when my mom passed away, he would, you tend to think things are going to change, like maybe he's going to get married again and things like that. But he said something that I'll never forget. He said, if ever I wanted to get married to replace your mom, I would do it outside this house and not in this house, because you guys are still here. And he's stayed on strong, being encouraged. He was praying for me this morning, and he was quoting scriptures, praying for me. He's reading a lot. He's being given opportunities at his home church to share the gospel. I think he's strong. He's finishing strong, and I'm really encouraged. Yeah. My mother-in-law is here. She's always here. She comes to this church, but we did not tell her that I was doing this, so she must be surprised. You can say hi. My sister-in-law is here as well. Louise has been, it's one thing to say that, you're married, but it's another thing to say that you're married to somebody who challenges you to step up as a man. And she, in the 4 years that I've been married to Louise, she's not afraid to tell you when you're wrong. She's not afraid to tell me when she's not happy with what I'm doing. And I thank God that by His grace and being at Miracle, don't you love Miracle Life? And just being under Pastor Walker, every time when he talks about the word, it's like, if you're at Miracle Life and you keep messing up in your life, then I don't know. But we really get the word the way it should be. So I thank God that being in this church has taught me a lot. And every time she's upset with me, every time that things go wrong and we have an argument, I look to my heart and say, Lord, what do you want me to change? I pick up books, I start reading, and start figuring out, Lord, what can I do differently? How can I grow in my marriage? So I do that before anything else. So I thank God for her. We've been through a lot. This past year has just been a train wreck for us. But we thank God that He's still the same God. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And his hand is strong upon us. And we thank God for everybody in this church who's been able to stand with us. It makes a difference to have a family that really care. And when you're standing before people and singing every time, it's kind of different when you're on the receiving end. Because all my life, all I know is how to serve. It's how to do what I feel God has called me to do and position myself so that I can do something. So when you're on the receiving end, it's kind of, strange. But I thank God for you, and I thank God for Miracle Life, for everything that I know, I learned here. And I'm really grateful to be here. I was born in Dola all my life. All I knew was Dola. There's also another thing I never thought I would do. I never wanted to live in Lusaka. So that makes three things. So when I went to school here, I was a David Gounder for, obviously, from 10th grade to 12th grade. And every time I came here, I'd walk in the streets of Lusaka. There was too many people. I don't like too many people. I just wanted Ndola, you know, Ndola is quiet and everything. And I thought to myself, ish, I wouldn't want to live in Lusaka. So I didn't want to live in Lusaka. I didn't want to worship lead. And I didn't want to stand before people and talk. And I guess I did all those things. But again, like I'm telling you, I can't give credit to myself, because it's by the grace of God, and God has a plan. As we look through the Word this morning, we're going to discover that. But today is the last Sunday, of 2015. Aren't you glad we made it? So we're going to cross over very soon to 2016. And when you look in your life this past year, there's going to be so many things that you will think. Others will be, you know, you think positive things. You know, this year I managed to do this. I managed to get a job. I managed to finish the house. You know, this year I got promoted. You know, so many nice things that you would say. Others, when you ask them, you know, others of you would think about something negative. You say, maybe that was the underlining factor in 2015. You would say, no, you know, I wish, you know, I lost somebody, I lost a close relative, things didn't go so well, I was dumped, I was almost getting married, that guy disappointed me. So there's so many things that you would say, all right? But I think we can all agree that whether positive, whether you say a whole lot of positive things, there was one thing that you wish changed. There was one thing, there's one negative thing that you thought, oh, you know, that still didn't change. So we hoped for things in 2014 that would happen in 2015. And for some of you, they didn't happen. You know, you hoped that you'd get that appointment. You know, you just see your brothers being, your friends being appointed in the department, being promoted and things like that. So you hope, this year is going to happen. Maybe it didn't happen. You know, you hope that this year I'll be free from this sickness that has tormented me for so long. For some of us, you know, we might have hoped that would be that as a family would draw closer. Some of you, maybe you wanted to draw closer to your mom, you wanted to draw closer to your dad. For there's been things in broken relationships there that need mending, and you hoped that this year things would change. If only, you know, things would change. For some of you, it's financial stress. You know, every year you are that person who's always knocking on somebody's door and saying, can you help me? And you thought, you know, 2015, I want this to change. I want to be free from, I don't want every time I call somebody to think, oh, he's asking for money again. You know, I want things to change. You might have been a person like that. For some of you, you said, no, 2015 is my year. I'm going to get married. I'm going to get married 2015. I never worked. I hope when you're saying that, you already had some money. But so we have so many things that we can look in our past and try and see, I hoped, you know, this would have happened, but it didn't happen. But does this mean this is the end? You know, is this the end? Well, I want to submit to you that it's not the end. God has set times and seasons, and the Word tells us that there is a time for everything. In Acts 1:7, Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in His own authority. God has a time, and His time is the right time. His time is the right time. At school, we had a song that we were singing, and the song went like, you know, we used to say, people come and people go. Generations come and generations go. Governments come and governments go. But He never changes. God is still the same God. He's still the same God. And I know now we can even change it to say, you know, cell phones come and cell phones go. TVs come and TVs go. Now they're curved I don't know whether that means I want to watch alone. I don't know. But so many things change around us. Change for the good, change for the bad, but God always stays the same. God always stays the same. In Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 to 8, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 to 8, and I won't read all of it. Verse 3 says, verse 1, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. You get where we're going with this. There is a time for everything. And, you know, I remember in my own life, 17 years ago, I gave my life to Christ. And the moment I did that, I knew, just a few months later, I knew that God was calling me to serve Him. And I did not know how everything was going to work out. I remember getting saved, and then Scripture Union meeting at school. I had very zealous friends, you know. I think they experimented on me a bit. So I got saved, and then a few weeks later they were saying, no, you know, we have a prayer room at that, you know, that we can go on. And it used to be, I don't know why it was at 22 hours, but it was at 22 hours. You know, we should go to the prayer room. Meet us at the prayer room. So I met them at the prayer room. And this was a few weeks later. And they said, no, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to speak in tongues. And they didn't even tell me what that meant, whatever. I didn't know. But they prayed for me, whatever. I started speaking in tongues. And from then on, I started serving in my church. And all I knew was serving. And I felt at home. I don't know how I can explain it to you, but I felt, Lord, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. This is what I want to do for the rest of my life. So much so that every time at school, you know, you would have those moments where you have your seniors come and they come and greet you at boarding school. You know, so what do you want to do? You're in grade 10. And all my friends would say, no, I want to go to UNSA. I want to be an engineer. And this one would say, yeah, I want to do that. I want to do that. And they're, what about you, Caesar? And I'll be quiet. And every time I would be quiet. I don't think any of the guys understood why I was quiet. Because I tried to say I want to be this, and he didn't agree in my heart. Now, it's not to say that that's going to happen for everybody, or that's a story for everyone. But this morning we're talking about how God has a plan for each and every one of us. And we shouldn't look at another person and try to live their life. So I just, that's all I had. And my parents were a great encouragement to me, that they did not discourage me from going to church. They did not discourage me from going to church. And I wasn't irresponsible either. I was not irresponsible either. Because so many times people think, no, if I feel, okay, you know, God has called me to a greater calling, you know, and I just sit and wait and just eat my dad's food and everything. But it wasn't like that. So they encouraged me every morning, every Sunday. I picked up the keyboard and I went for choir practice. And most of the times when I missed a Saturday, I'm not going, maybe I'm late or something, they would say, you're not going to church. You know, but they encouraged me. I know it probably wasn't easy for them, because they obviously had expectations of what they wanted me to do and what they hoped that I would do. But I thank God that they did encourage me. My mom always said to me, no, you know, don't look at other people. You know, just stick with God. She just said, stick with God. Stick with God. And I did that. I did that. It obviously took 10 years for me to see the training start. But I stayed faithful. I stayed faithful. So this morning I want to talk about three things that can help us just to stay faithful. That when God's timing comes, we'll be ready. Because sometimes we want things rushed. And the first thing we're going to look at is that we need to be patient. Number one is that we need to be patient. We need to be patient. Patience for some people comes naturally. There are people who are just patient. Some are over-patient, patient to a fault. Others are not so patient. You know, others are not so patient. And if you're married to one, it's difficult. Louise is not patient. I can say that. There's been two things in our 4 years being together, two things that I've tried to pull off. One, it worked because it was a surprise birthday party and all she needed to do was to come home and find everybody's there. So I'd organize everything and she came home and surprise, everything is there. It worked. The second time I tried to do something like that, it involved going to out of town, first of all, going out of town. And then it involved me making sure that I talked to our supervisor, filled in her leave on her behalf, got that signed, talked to people on her team to make sure that they covered her while she was away without her knowing. Now, she's not that patient. You know, she's really not patient. So when I was doing this, remember talking to Pastor Haley and she was like, Caesar, this is a train wreck. I don't know how you're going to pull this off. And I'm like, I'll do it. You know, she was like, I know Louise, she's like me. She's not going to appreciate this. I know what you're trying to do, but it's not going to go well. But I was like, no, you know, I'll do it. So I planned everything. Everything was planned. Then the day came and she asked me, she was like, so how are you going to get her to pack a bag? Because she needs to pack a bag. And I was like, I'll tell her on the day. I was like, no, I'll tell her on the day in the morning. She'll pack a bag. So the day came in the morning and I was like, okay, we are going out. Okay, and she was like, where are we going? And I was like, no, you know, I was all excited. No, you know, we're going out. Just pack a bag. It's like, packing a bag? Where are we going? Well, I'm even packing a bag. Right there, I knew, oh my goodness, this is, I don't know what had opened. But it went so bad that all I remember is saying, then we won't go. And we sat for, I think that was close to 10 minutes. Close to 10 minutes, we were not talking. There was tension. And then she just said, oh, she just started talking. You know, you didn't even tell me. I knew something was up. You know, how can we go? I don't even know where we're going. So now I knew, okay, there's some hint that it's going to work. So I had to come clean now. I just said, okay, no, this is where we're going, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And we went. And I think she loved it. I think she loved it. Even though she didn't appreciate the means, but she loved it. So you might be thinking, okay, patience for me. I need to know, you know, I need now. I need things to work. I need to know what I'm doing and things like that. And sometimes we feel that this is something that we need to put a whole effort in and things like that. But the Bible tells us that the fruit, one of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So we are all capable of being patient. We are all capable of being patient. Yes, it might be harder for some, but we are all capable of being patient. But sometimes, many times, things happening around us can cause us not to be patient. You know, and the things that we see, we always want instant things. You know, you want things to happen now. I need this to happen now. You know, you want instant coffee, instant tea. There's even instant Nshima now. I didn't know you could do Nshima in the microwave. It's done. All right. So we want things really fast, but we have to be patient. We have to be patient, because if you are not patient, you're going to step out of what God wants you to do. You're going to step out of what God wants you to do and mess everything up. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to mess things up. I don't want to mess things up. In this life, there is. I'm saying this now because I've seen the amount of hurt that the decisions that you make can bring other people. And you cannot afford to be selfish. You cannot afford to be selfish. So I want, in my own life, I want to make the right decisions. I want to follow God, because there were people like my mom, who's not here right now, who kept on encouraging me. She saw something in me and she kept on encouraging me. And I think she's not here right now, but she's cheering me on. She's cheering me on. And we can't afford to be selfish. But there were people in the Bible that, you know, when we look at the Bible, there are people that had an opportunity and they blew it. And the first example I want to give you is the children of Israel. The children of Israel in Numbers 13 and 14, they just messed up. They doubted God. And you know, God had brought them very far. They had seen a lot of miracles, but they still doubted God. God told Moses to send out spies to go and spy the land, and they brought a bad report. And everybody chose to listen to the bad report. Even though there was Caleb who said, no, we can do this. But they brought a bad report. Everybody, and you know, it took longer. It took longer for them. And God says, these people are not going to see it. Only Caleb and his line are going to see it. But we don't want to be in such a position. And that's why God always was saying, you know, every time he remember. We need to remember what God has done in our lives. We need to remember what God has done in our lives. 1 Corinthians, Paul talked about this. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11 to 13. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. When the storms rise around us, when things are hard, God is there in the midst of that. God is there. We were not promised a life without hurt. We were not promised a life that is just, you know, it's happy, happy every time. But God did promise us something. He said, he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. I think that's an awesome promise. We also look at Abraham, the father of many nations. When God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 12 and told him that he was going to have a child, it took a long time, didn't it? It took a long, long time. And God kept on reminding him about his promise in Genesis 13, 15, 17, and 18. But I think in the middle there, Genesis 16, he tried to help out God and listen to his wife, tried to have another son, and that didn't go so well. But that wasn't the plan of God. Finally, when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90 years old, God gave them Isaac. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be 100 and you're going to be 90, but, you know, this is how long it took. You can't help but wonder if it would have taken less time if they just stuck with God. Hebrews 6:15 says of Abraham, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. After he had patiently endured. It is not always easy to be patient and wait. It is not always easy. There was one other person who waited, and this person had every reason, you know, to just leave everything, you know. And this person was Joseph. Joseph moved from the pit to the prison and to the palace. At some point, he probably was thinking, Lord, you showed me a lot. Is this what it is? Is this what it is? I'm just going to die in prison? But I think he stayed focused. He stayed thinking about what God had showed him. He stayed focused. Joseph patiently worked faithfully in each situation he was in. He waited for God to fulfill his promise, what he had showed him. He had to be patient. He had to stay believing God. It's not always easy. It's not. I remember in my own life, I think it must have been like 13 years ago, I was at my old church. We had guest speaker. So there was a preacher, and then there was another man who I think was flawed in the prophetic ministry. And it's not this goofy, you know, it's not goofy prophecy and all these things. It was genuine. It was legit, as the young people would say. So the time came and they said, no, invite people, come to church. So we went on a Sunday morning. Sunday morning, the other man was a preacher, preached. And it was good. Then in the evening, they said, no, bring more people. And, you know, let's just have another time, invite more people to come, because there'll be more ministry happening. So we went in the evening. And they gave an altar call after the preaching again. They gave an altar call and they said, no, this man is going to pray. He's going to pray for you. And, you know, I remember going up there. And this guy started praying. And in my life, I've never seen anyone else flow in the prophetic ministry, like, you know, truthfully, where it agrees with your heart and everything. I didn't know Brother Hagen, but I hear he also used to be one of those people who were, like, really humble. So I stood in line, and this man was praying. And before, when I was going to that meeting, there were certain things in my heart that I was struggling with. And I was thinking, Lord, all I have is the music. And I don't know, with this music, you know, it's very easy again to step out, you know. I can tell you, if back then, if I got that music and I released an album, I wouldn't be standing before you right now. I would not be at Miracle Life doing what I'm doing. I would have missed it. Because releasing an album and doing the whole thing was not for me. And I thank God that I knew that and I stayed away from it. But I was struggling with, Lord, I just have the music. So how is this going to work into anything? And I was doubting. So I had doubt in my heart. So when this man was praying and he was getting close to where I was, you know, there's a line. And, you know, you would hear when he got close to me, I would know. And, you know, if you're on a line with a person who's getting it spot on, it's scary. So he's coming towards me and I'm thinking, oh Lord, let me just repent first. So I was like, I repented, you know, I'm repenting here. And I would notice, I kept on looking at him. And every time he got something, the Lord showed him something about the person that wasn't right. You know, where the Lord showed him a sin, he would go closer. And I would just hear, brother, brother, and he starts talking to him. Closer to his ears, because he didn't want the next person to hear, which I think was very, very good. These days they'll point you out, my brother. They'll point you out, but that is not the Spirit of God, right? That's not it. So he would go close so that the next person doesn't hear. And moment I'm like, Lord, forgive me, Father. Speaking tongues there. And he came, so when he reached me, he held my hands. He says, my brother, give me your hands. He held my hands, and he said, and you know, when people, I didn't know what to do, you know, you don't know whether to pray in tongues, you don't know whether to close your eyes, you really don't know what to do. So he held my hand, and he said, great man of God, my brother, look at me, smile. You are a great man of God. And I'm thinking, okay, great man of God. Okay, this is good. And then he said something else. He said, my brother, you have so many talents. And the moment he said that, my heart went like, boom. That is correct. That is true. Because I had seen that about myself. I had seen that about myself. So my heart agreed to what he was saying. And then, by the way, the great man of God, I think I'm still looking in the future. So many years ahead, but I'm still looking out for that one. So he said to me, he said, "You know, my brother, there's nothing impossible with God." I didn't tell him I was doubting or anything or where I was. You know, there's nothing impossible with God. And he told me, "You know, I'm going around the world. I'm going to Israel and I don't even know how I'm going. But God is faithful and God is able." And the moment he said that, I was like, "Oh, thank you, Jesus. You are able." Afterwards, I went up to him and I said, "No, you prayed for me." But I was careful again, you know. But he had started with a great man of God. So is he going to tell me anything bad? I'd already repented. So I went, I was encouraged. Now I went to him and I said, "No, you prayed for me." And he just encouraged me and said, "My brother, one day I will see you." He said, "One day we'll meet, you know, but don't be discouraged." Again, he encouraged me and everything. And you know, I wish I would stand here and tell you that, you know, next year, boom. Oh, everything came alive. No, it took 10 years. From when I saw that man, it took 10 years before finally, God said it's time. And even when that happened, I had actually even forgotten. When I came to Lusaka and I came to Miracle Life, God again reminded me. God said, "You know, you're going to be doing that." When I looked on the stage and they were praying for somebody who was leaving, he said, "You're going to be doing that." And I didn't think, "Oh, doing what?" Okay, so I got involved here and everything, and you know, I kept on thinking, "Oh, you know, I can't. What can I do with this music?" Still, I was thinking, you know. So even when it came time for me to go and be trained, you know, I had a job. Obviously, I was working in maintenance for Miracle Life, and I remember sitting down with Pastor Walker. And we were talking, and he said, "Caesar," he was honest with me. He was very honest with me. He said, "Caesar, I believe that this is the right time for you. And I know you've waited 10 years, but I believe God, this is the time for you. You're going to go, but I don't know what's going to happen when you come back." It was that simple. "I don't know what's going to happen when you come back." So I went, I left, and I was thinking, "Lord, I don't know what's going to happen when I come back, but I know this is the right time." And even then, I was still struggling and everything, but I just knew, "Lord, this is the right time, and I've waited so long and everything, but I believe you have a plan for me." So my plan was unfolding, and even though I didn't see everything, but the plan was unfolding. In Jeremiah 29 verse 11, Jeremiah was prophesying, says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." God has a plan. And I know every time we hear God has a plan, you think it's your neighbor. It's you. God has a plan for you and me. Different plans for everyone. Different plans. Do not try and live somebody else's plan. Do not try and live somebody else's plan. Fulton, I hope I pronounced this right, but somebody called Sheen said this about patience. Said, "Patience is power. Patience is not an absence of action. Rather, it is timing. It waits on the right time to act for the right principles and in the right way." In the right way. When your time comes, you will know it. When your time comes, you will know it. But before then, you are ready. You're getting ready. You're getting ready. This is not to say you're puffed up, because some people if someone, or say prophet came, or just somebody had a word for you and said, "Hey, I've seen this about you. I've seen that you're going to take over this company." The next day, they are in the office. Oh, my goodness. You can tell something is wrong now. They've already taken over the company in their head. But that is not what it's about. It's about you setting yourself up in a right place where God will use you. That when your time comes, you're ready. When your time comes, when you're ready. When I was leaving this place, I had a list of questions. Literally, list of questions I used to write down. I'm like, Lord, this is the music I have. This is all I have. So I wrote down everything, including questions that you think, you know, I would write down. How do you teach people how to sing different voice parts? I'll write that down. When I went, I was literally getting everything. I would tick. When I got the answer, oh, yeah, that's how you do that. I would tick off. And I ticked off all the answers that I got. Up to now, one of my instructors at Rhema, she always says that she's never had a student like me because I just sucked everything from them. Everything. Everything I saw. And why was I doing that? Why was I doing that? It's not because I wanted to come back and, oh, you're known now, I've got knowledge, and you know, there's nothing you can tell me. It's because in all my life, I want to be a blessing. I want to be useful. In short, I want to be useful and useful to God. I want to be useful to God. That's why I was doing that. So that I can be useful. So you go and get knowledge. So you might be a CEO of a company or managing director. You know, might own all these companies. And I was telling in the first service, I was saying that if you do not have a greater purpose for what you're doing, you need to find it. You need to find it. Because you do not want to leave this earth. And all people would say is, oh, he was a CEO of a company. Or he had a lot of money. I don't want to leave this earth, people saying that. I want people to feel the difference when I'm left. I want people, when I've left, I want people to know that Caesar was here and he made a difference. So wherever we are, we make a difference. But we need to be patient. Amen. Secondly is that we need to focus on our calling. Focus on your calling. When we hear calling already, some people are thinking, oh, you know, bishop, pastor, you know, I'm an apostle. So I need to focus on apostleship. No, 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 no. Okay? We are all called to do something. You know, God says he has a plan for you, so there's a plan for you. Your plan might not be apostleship or bishop, you know, archbishop or anything like that. My plan might not be to be the greatest CEO. You know, that might not be my plan. But God has a plan for you and you need to find it. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 9 says, for God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. A life of holiness means a life lived in Christ. It means a life that is lived each and every day purposefully, thinking and asking and relying on the Spirit of God to lead us with whatever we do. It is not a spooky life, hear me. It is not a life that is lived always looking for the supernatural. All right? But it's a life that is lived according to the Word of God. That is the life that God has called us to do. We are the salt of the earth. Wherever we are all placed, wherever we go, whichever environment, you need to be salt wherever you are. You need to share Christ. You need to have an impact where you are. So if you're in the corporate world, you need to have an impact where you are. If you are the boss, you need to have an impact where you are. If you're a preacher, you need to have an impact where you are. Do your part and do it right. Do it right with everything that is in you. Do it with everything that is in you. I think that's what God wants for us. And we can achieve that with Christ. It is the moment we, you know, when I was told that I was going to be doing this, you know, went for lunch, and, you know, Pastor Walker was trying to beat around the bush, trying to get me ready, and Pastor Haley just said, "Hey, just tell him, we want you to preach on the 31st. Like, you don't just say that like that. You know, you just don't say it like that. And, you know, I'm thinking, I went to the car and I was shaking. I was literally shaking. And I'm thinking, oh my God. But, you know, and then I thought, okay, Lord, I think it's time. I thought, Lord, I think it's time. I've not looked forward to this time, but I think it's time. I think I have something to say, Lord. I have something to say. So it wasn't like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, can do it. No, by God's grace, I'm standing before you right now. I'm not shaking right now because there is no need to. It's not about me. If you'd be in my position, you'd also think about shaking. So it's not about me. It's about what God wants to do. And God wants to do something in your life. When you get the, it's like getting the pressure off of myself. You know, find it. Find what God wants you to do wherever you are. There's a greater purpose for wherever you are. You can be an influence in a positive way. All right. So we focus on the calling. We focus on what God has showed you. Okay? And if God hasn't showed you, God hasn't appeared to you, God is speaking every day. God is speaking through people. God is speaking through His Word. Listen. Listen. It's not, you know, for the, oh yeah, it's just not for the pastors, you know, and, you know, maybe they hear better. God is speaking every time. God is speaking every time. And He speaks mostly through people. Mostly through people. So let's be listening. Let's be listening. And we can focus on those things that God is doing. Number three, and the last one this morning. You need to trust Him entirely. You need to trust Him entirely. He will not forsake you. When things are hard, He will not forsake you. He's a good God. Amen. He has your best interest at heart. Pastor Walker always says this, and every time he says it, it just makes me smile. Even though I'm facing a really difficult thing, it makes me smile. And he always says, you know, whatever problem you can think about, no matter how big it is, God cares more about that problem than yourself. Because sometimes you tend to think you're the only one, you know? You know, like you care more about the problem than God Himself. But God cares more. And He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. When the oceans rise, and we sang that song, when the oceans rise, storms are raging, you know, He's there with us. He is there with us. All right? Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 23 to 26. Psalm 37, verse 23 to 26. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall. For the Lord holds them by the hand. Once I was young, and now I am old. Yet I have never seen the godly abandoned. Of their children, or their children begging for bread. The godly always give generous loans to others, and their children are a blessing. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. We trust God and lean not on our own understanding. Trusting God doesn't mean that now we use that as an excuse. Because some people do that. My sister had a friend, and you know, I was young in the Lord, and you know, every time this lady came to visit my sister, You know, she would be looking like a bomb blew up in front of her. She was a lady, but you know, the hair was messed up. She was just looking scruffy. And you know, I kept on, you'd hear the conversation she'd be saying with my sister, you know, when they're talking, and she'd just say, you know, Sharon, you know, I'm in the valley, my sister, I'm in the valley. Every time she came, she was in the valley. No, I'm in the valley. And there was also another word that she would say, you know, the devil. It wouldn't miss. The valley and the devil. Wouldn't miss. But that's not what it is. You don't use it as an excuse. Because in the midst of everything that is going on around you, God is still with you. God is still with you. Even when you think, here now, this is the end. This is the end. Reliant K has done a song. This is the end if you want it. And I was thinking, there's some times where you're just thinking, this is the end. Here, I'm done. But God is there. And when somebody comes to you and says, you know, how are you doing? That is not the time now. No, my brother, I'm just in the valley. Here, it's wild, you know. But you encourage yourself in the Lord. You encourage yourself in the Lord. You encourage yourself in the Lord. And you come out of it. You will come out of it. So we stay trusting God and not using that as an excuse. We don't use that as an excuse. And we don't stay in the valley. All right? We don't stay in the valley forever. No, we will not stay in the valley forever. It's just a season. It's just a season. But even in the midst of that, at Rhema, they taught us that, you know, when you graduate from Rhema, and Rhema is not only for ministers, you know, who are called in full-time ministry, if you like to say that. But business people come to Rhema, you know, just you're running a business. Mothers, you know, you want to be more effective in raising your kids and things like that. They come to Rhema. But one of the things that they tell us at Rhema is, whatever is needed to be done, do it. Whatever is needed to be done, do it. If you don't know how to sing, they say, we need a praise and worship leader. I can do it. Even though you don't know how to sing. Whatever is needed to be done, do it. What are they saying? You need to be a blessing. You don't need to use, no, I'm in the valley. No, I'm just being trained. You know, us, we are called to higher things. No. You help out. You help out. If you feel you are called, you know, you're going to be an apostle, planting churches, whatever, and you just look. Every time you come in the church, you're just looking. Okay? You don't know. You can even see, because sometimes you can even see. You can even see that this person, you know. Anyway, don't go there. But humble yourself, as Pastor Benjamin would say. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. All right? So God shows us things so that when it's rough, you can have that before you. When it's rough, you're in the pit, you're in prison. Most of us won't ever end up in prison, I hope. But, you know, when it's rough, you can have that and say, Lord, I'm looking to the future. I'm looking to the future. I'm looking to you. All right? That man I told you about, who spoke into my life, he said, my brother, I see you ministering to thousands. And over the years, when I started worship leading, I was thinking, afterwards I thought, is this what he saw? When I went to Rhema USA and they asked me to do that song with the different worship leaders, I was looking, I was like, is this what he saw? Right now, when I'm speaking to you, I'm thinking, is this what he saw? That was 13 years ago. But I never, at no point in my life did I grow wings and think, oh, I'm going to minister into thousands. You know, you guys don't know anything. No. I never did that. But I'm always looking to be a blessing. In my life, I'm always looking to be a blessing. I want to do what God wants me to do. That's all. If that's all I do, it's fine. I don't care if I offend you, but if I do what God wants me to do, I've made it. I've made it. So this morning, I want to encourage you, you know, be patient. Be patient and wait on God. And as you are waiting, be looking out for opportunities to grow, opportunities to mature, opportunities to be a blessing. God will use that. Focus on what God has showed you. If you're a business person and you're just saying, Caesar, this is not making any sense. I'm just a CEO. Find the greater purpose for you being a CEO. Find it. There is something that God wants you to achieve in this life with you being a CEO, with you owning all those companies. There is something that God wants you to do. So find it, that when you leave this earth, we'll be able to say more than just you were the CEO of a company or you were the accountant at FNB. We should be able to say more than that, because we can all live out God's purpose for our lives. And trust Him. Trust Him. He will not fail us. He cannot fail us. He is faithful. God is faithful. And don't look, you know, don't look to the left nor the right. And you know, so many times, and if you're a young person, and right now, you know, years are going, and you're thinking, Lord, I need to go to school, or you're just thinking, all my friends are overtaking me. There is no overtaking. It's just people living out the purposes of God. Nobody's ahead of anybody. We're all just going our own paths. And we're all working together, everything, but we all have a path. And we should never, never, never try to live out another path. Never look at another person and think, I wish I was like them. That's like an insult to God. I want to be me. And I want to live out what God has for me. And I hope that this afternoon, you would live with that. You would live with that. And know, God has a plan for me. God has a purpose for me. And I'm going to live it out. And something more than just this person was this is going to be said when I've left. Amen. I'm sure we can do that. Amen. We can be a blessing. We can be patient. We can focus on our calling. And we can trust God. Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning. And there might be some other people in this room that, you know, as I was talking, you were thinking, you know, this doesn't make sense to me. You know, how do I trust what I don't know? But I want to tell you that in my own life and things, and everybody here would agree, that when things are hard and we look to God, it makes it easier. It makes it lighter. That you think, if I didn't know God, how would it be? How would it be if I didn't know God? I wouldn't manage. We all wouldn't manage in our own strength. God doesn't promise 100%, you know, free life, no problems. But He promises that He will never leave us and He will never forsake us. So if you're here and you do not know God, you have not made the decision to follow Jesus, I'm inviting you and I'm giving you an opportunity to choose Christ, because it makes a lot of sense. It makes life easier. Even in the midst of trouble, Christ is always there with us. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that He sent His Son to come and die for us. And that Christ came to give us life and life more abundantly. God had a plan for us. A plan to redeem us, to bring us to Himself. And the plan was Jesus. Jesus came and died on the cross because of our sins. He took all our sins. All our sins were nailed on the cross. and the free gift of salvation is here because of what Christ did. And we can accept that. We can reach out. And if you are in this place and you don't know Christ and you said, I've run away too many times, this is the last Sunday of 2015 and I'm giving you an opportunity. What an opportunity to say, on the last Sunday of 2015, I chose Christ. I chose to follow Christ. If you're in this place, just raise your hand right now. I want to pray with you. I want to lead you in a prayer to give you an opportunity. And so many people in this auditorium have made that decision. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. What a life to be lived in Christ. Thank you for that hand. I see that hand, my sister. Thank you. Oh, what a life. What a life we can live. There is so much to life than what we know. And we can find it in Christ. The real purpose for life. Anybody else. Another group of people would be, you know, you tried God and you thought it didn't work. And you went away, you went your own way and said, I'm done with this. There's grace for you, there's mercy for you also. And Christ is reaching out this morning to you also. He's calling you back to Him. Will you accept Him? If you've run away from God and you feel you're far away right now, just raise your hand again and I'll be able to pray with you this morning. Shall we all stand? Shall we all stand? So if you raised your hand, I'd ask you to do one more thing, and that is to come to the front. Come meet me in the front here and we'll pray together. If you raise your hand, there were hands which were raised over here. Don't feel intimidated. Don't feel, what are people going to say? Because we've all made this decision. Just come. And if you feel like you should have raised up your hand, please come. Please come. Please come. The last Sunday of 2015, God is calling out. Will you accept Him? Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? She's a helper. Anybody else? All right. Is somebody else coming? Come, my brother. Come, my brother. God is faithful. God is faithful. Thank you so much for coming. Now, if this was my Bible and I wanted to give it to you, how would you take it? You'd reach out your hands, right? And that's what we do with salvation. It's a free gift. And we just reach out to God and we receive it. There's not any amount of work that we can do, being good or anything, that will ever buy salvation. It's a free gift. And we just reach out to God and we receive it. So this morning, I'm just going to pray a prayer with you, help you accept Christ, and I just want you to raise your hand. Just raise your hand as a sign of surrender to God, and everybody will join us in this prayer. And just say, Lord Jesus. Just speak these words out. Lord Jesus, I thank you this morning that you are God. I thank you, Lord, that you saw this day from when the earth was made. I thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son, Jesus, to come and die on the cross for my sins. And Lord, I thank you that all my sins were forgiven. And I ask you now to forgive me of all my sins. Please make me your son, Jesus. I thank you, Father, that I'm in your family right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome decision. Thank you so much.